This is the OG show with the OG, TG, some say too good, this time rich or wrecked, 2022. We've got Empress Trash, we've got Art Gnome, we've got Fanny, and we've got Wonder Mundo on the panel today. We're going to go through some of the highlights of 2022. 2022 is not over yet, and we had an interesting thing happen today that we will bring up at some point. And so let's just get right into it. If you're wondering who the people are and where you can find them and all that, we'll have that at the end of the show. They'll have a moment to shill whatever they want to do, say what they want to say. But if you're on the OG show, then you're already elite. So you can just, you know, trust the people on here. So make sure to follow everyone that's on the panel today. All right. Bear market. You get liquidated. You get rugged. It's all over. Thanks a lot. See you next time. 2022 has not been only up. It's been only down. And FTX, we've got Binance, we've got war, inflation, interest rates, and NFTs. Bear market. Rich or wrecked? Empress Trash.
I don't know. I'm feeling pretty rich, but mostly rich in friends and being elite now. But money-wise, I mean, low-key wrecked, but not horrible. But overall, I think, like, I like it more. I like less hype and more just, like, real shit. I don't know.
Right on, right on. Okay, Art Gnome, bear market, rich or wrecked?
Yeah, I mean, I feel rich in that I've always felt the same about my art collection, no matter what the heck else is going on in the world. It's actually funny to me that other people perceive my art collection differently as, like, the markets change. Like, sometimes people offer me what I think is crazy amounts of money, even for art that I love, but I'm still like, I wouldn't even pay that for this, and I own it. And then other times, like, everybody seems completely disinterested. So I'm pretty stable in my own valuation of my own money, or my own art collection. But what I was going to say is that I do feel like a lot of us, the beginning of the year, middle of the year, we're like, yeah, we're OGs, we love this, like, you know, we're built for this, we don't mind the crash. But over the last couple of weeks, I do feel, like, bad, because I think the money's drying up, and, like, a lot of my art friends, like, I see a little bit more desperation, let's put it that way, both in, like, marketplaces and artists and collectors, where it's just, like, money ain't flowing like it used to, and we're all humans and, you know, need to, you know, survive. So, a little bit less of the, like, yeah, we love this, and a little bit more of, like, uh-oh, like, are we heading in for, like, a year-long chill, you know?
Right on. All right, Wonder Mundo, bear market, rich or wrecked?
I say rich because many of the same reasons, but mostly because I also think that it kind of thinned it out a little bit. You could kind of tell people who are here just for money. And of course, we're all here for money. I am as well. But part of it is also being here for different reasons. And I think that that's why it's also good, because it just allows for a little bit of that. Because there's hype, there's scams. And if people aren't making money, then I think that will dry up the scams and stuff like that as well.
Right on. And Fanny, bear market, rich or wrecked?
Well, I mean, I was actually looking at the, you know, past year worth of news, as we do, like, a weekly newsletter, and yeah, I mean, no wonder, you know, it's all about the speculation. Like, all the news are so short term that, like, what goes up goes down. I mean, there's no secret in that in any market, like, including, like, the NFT market. So that, you know, like, I don't want to be like, told you so, but this is, like, yeah, I mean, needed to happen happened, and it sucks in the sense that, like, you know, for artists and the people who are here for the right reasons, like, they suffer from it. So I don't want to be like, yeah, great, like, bear market, we're in for the art. I mean, who cares about the money? Like, right, everybody has to pay for their bills. But so I think, yeah, now it's like we're back to, I mean, what we've said all year, like, this is like, yes, it's not all NFTs, like, there's, like, you know, many different types of NFTs, and now we actually see that, like, different types of NFTs will have different paths and different, like, growth, and for art, I think for good and bad, we're, like, back to more of a art market pace, which means it's way slower, so maybe better for our mental health, but not maybe not so great for innovation, right? Because I don't think any of us here want just more crypto art in traditional dysfunctional art institutions. So let's see.
I'm going to say Rich, because I would say that I like bear markets. I think I just appreciate them for what they are, and kind of echoing a lot of things that people said. I think there's some good art and good projects in general that come out of bear markets. And anything you do now is going to be leveraged a lot whenever things, you know, pick up again. So just keep going, basically. And yeah, it is tough if people run out of money, but you can't go up only. It goes down too, just like we said.
There's actually a great slide by you, Jason, from one of your training at Vertical Crypto Art, like, that actually showed that in the past few bear markets, like, the most interesting projects came up in the bear market.
I agree. If I think of the projects, and I think it's just so noisy when it's up only. And during the whole hype, I'm also thinking, like, okay, this is going to end at some point. I don't know when, but it's going to go down. We're going to see, you know, what happens. But it's been more dramatic than I expected, actually, to be honest, so far this year. All right, we're going to go on to the next one. I don't have a bonus question for that yet. I might come back for that. All y'all listeners, get ready for the bonus questions. They're fun. Okay. NFT NYC and NFT London, the mega events that happened this year. You know, biggest NFT event ever. 5 billion speakers, 1 trillion sponsors, no empty wall space without some kind of branding on it. Everywhere, rich or wrecked. The event itself, not the side events. The event itself, rich or wrecked. We're going to go with Fanny. You are last. You get to start now.
I hate to say it, but wrecked, because I mean, depends on how you perceive it. If we see that event as it started, it was a great, like, event for the community, but now it totally blew up of proportion, losing its intent and impact. I mean, now it's a trade show. So great, if you wanted a trade show for NFTs, now we have one. But personally, I've been very disappointed, and it's very confusing, because now it's the same team who's doing, now it's almost twice a year in New York. They took over, like, London, but Paris, for example, like NFT Paris, is another team. But somehow we all assume, or like most people assume, that like NFT, whatever city comes next, is done by the same people. So I think it's a re-centralization that nobody needs. So wrecked.
Right on. Wondermunda, what do you think? Rich or wrecked?
I'm going to say wrecked. And I wasn't even there, but it's just the idea of it being like this big, almost tech conference feeling like. And really at these big events, it's really going to see the people, your community. And even like in Austin, they have South by Southwest, and I never buy a South by ticket. I just go and to the side events, and I see it the same way. It's just big. That's wrecked.
Right on. Empress Trash, NFT NYC, NFT London, rich or wrecked?
Specifically, NFT NYC wrecked.
We don't hear you, right?
You don't hear me? Do you hear me?
Okay, we're gonna.
I can hear you.
I can hear.
Yeah, we okay, can cool. hear.
Okay. Oh, I can't hear him. Can you hear her?
Yeah, we can.
Can you hear me now?
Okay, we all hear you. We're live, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm having some technical problems. So just say your piece, Empress Trash, and then mute yourself. Okay. I'm going to figure it out in the meantime.
Okay. So NFT NYC specifically was wrecked. It is too inaccessible for people. Exploitative in a lot of ways. NFT NYC is.
And okay, we have some technical difficulties, yep. Ladies and gentlemen. Empress Trash, I'd ask you to like leave and join and try to ask for speaking ability again. And in the meantime, Art Gnome, NFT NYC, NFT London, rich or wrecked?
Yeah, yeah. And just a heads up, Theo, we could all, I think most of us could hear Empress Trash, but she's going to hop off, it sounds like, and hop back on. I would say, you know, and this is, I think all mega events, because I'm an introvert and like smaller intimate groups, all mega events in a way are kind of like wrecked, right? In that it's just not a good fit for me personally. But I also feel like that's like not being 100% honest. Because look, I went to NFT NYC and hung out with you, Theo, and Eleonora and Fanny. And like, you know, would I want to, if I could go back and not go to NFT NYC and not see all of you, would I do that? Hell nah. Like, you know, you have to go to these events knowing that other people you love and care about are going to be there. And like, if you're not having a good time, it's a little bit on you, right? Like, you know, find a way to make it work for you, knowing that like a bunch of people will be there. And in a way, a mega event is kind of like, even if you don't like them, again, I'm kind of allergic to massive events. And but like, even if you don't like them, it is kind of a signal that like it's reached mainstream in a huge way, right? Like that's the thing. So while mega events aren't my thing, kind of cool to see that it got so big that it could even like NFTs could even get that big and garner that much interest. And like, I think there's ways to find satellite events that keep it interesting.
We are live, people. We are live.
We are live. So what's going on, ladies and gentlemen, is this is Bear Market, and I got rugged, and I can't hear anyone, but I'm on. Don't worry, I'm on it. I'm pulling up the space on my laptop to see if I can hear it. All right, I figured out a solution in the meantime. It's going to be a little bit weird, but that's great. This is NFT world. We're a little weird, right? All right, we're going to go on to the next topic. The next topic is Ethereum Merge. We're getting technical now. Ethereum Merge. Ethereum is now proof of stake. Staked coins can't be withdrawn yet from staking pools. There's also a new rule introduced that the fees of each transaction are burned, meaning that if there's enough activity on Ethereum, that it's actually deflationary, even more deflationary than Bitcoin. The rules of a running system have changed. Is it a good precedent or the start of a slippery slope into governments coming in and taking over control and forcing changes? Rich or wrecked, the Ethereum Merge? Artno.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I guess rather than try to say something clever, I'll just be honest. I started out collecting on Ethereum, and then when like the crazy environmental attacks started hitting, like crescendoing with artists I know getting like death threats or whatever, moved over and tried to start this sort of green NFTs movement to explore ways that the community could help, and ultimately kind of pivoted to Tezos for like a year where things were a bit more affordable and like I didn't have to deal directly as much with the question around the environment. So I'm glad about the Ethereum change because I'm not a climate expert despite the green NFT stuff, but it feels like a step in the right direction, you know, and I recognize we could have a whole debate about consensus mechanisms and which ones are stronger and whether or not it's a massive environmental impact or how big it is or isn't. But just getting the conversation off of that from like, you know, people hating and being completely closed minded, I think is a positive step, but certainly not like tech wise smart enough to know everything that the Ethereum merge means. It just for me, it opens up possibilities and it means fewer conversations where it's one less reason for people to hate me collecting NFTs, I guess is the way I would put it.
Right on, right on. Thanks a lot, Art Gnome. All right, Wonder Mundo. ETH merge, rich or wrecked?
Rich. I think for similar reasons that Art Gnome said, but mainly because I think it's a step in the right direction. And, you know, we're just going to take a few years for gas to be lower, but I think that it's also not just going to, you know, people's like miners like how it was before. I do also find it kind of hard to like think that at least the government and stuff like that, like, I feel like they're going to get in somehow. I don't know if it'd be Ethereum, but I think that's also inevitable, unfortunately, on that end. That'd be an unpopular opinion, but yeah. And so I think overall it's a good thing, and it helps with like the haters as well. I agree.
Right on, right on. Okay, Empress Trash, ETH merge, rich or wrecked?
I think it's rich. and not, like, I'm not super crypto knowledgeable. So this is completely from the perspective of accessibility and from an artist. But I know it's first of all, it's the onboarding thing with less hate. And so being able to be outside of the immediate crypto and NFT bubble and exist and be able to just bounce any weird criticisms off, being like, no, well, it's not killing the environment. Like, you're just completely wrong. And being able to say that and just move on makes it very rich. And then also the end goal of gas fees hopefully being less on Ethereum for it to be more accessible after sharding gets implemented. And that will just help as a whole, because the biggest issue that I've had with ETH coming in when I did is the accessibility with the gas fees for especially artists not in America and different socioeconomic classes. Like, it's just too much, and it just needs to be resolved somehow for it to be a viable transactional thing moving forward.
Right on. Fanny, Ethereum merge, rich or wrecked?
Yeah, I mean, rich as well. I think to add one argument is also, as Jason said, like, a lot of artists did not want to contribute to killing the planet, moved to Tezos, which was good to have an alternative, but the problem was that it was the only almost alternative, and it's never good to just have one option. So instead of saying, oh, well, now, like, Ethereum, like, merge and it's not bad for the environment, so there's no need of Tezos, I don't think that's the case. I think that's just the case for more, to show that there's more options for artists to have. And in a decentralized world, I mean, having more than one option is always a good thing. And and DEF CON, like, that happened in Bogota after the merge was like, you could feel like this excitement. You know, it was already bear market, but it was you had a lot of people there to build and you know, already preparing, like, you know, as Empress Trash said, like, way more like technical things that I would have time to summarize here, but it was exciting, I think.
I would like to add one more thing I thought of while you were talking, Fanny, but also how oh my god, my mind went blank. No, I'm like interrupting to get blank. I'm so sick. I'm wrecked right now. I'm so wrecked. Sorry. If I think of it later, I'll bring it back up. But it was something really exciting, I swear.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, something really exciting is coming later, so we're going to hold you to it. I think I'm kind of undecided. I think it's rich and wrecked. But I think it's interesting what you guys brought up. I think that each chain has its own aesthetic and as community, in a sense, from like an artistic point of view. So I think that each one has a use. Probably needs a whole nother show. I don't think proof of work destroys the earth at all. So that's just like a whole nother thing. So I think that whole part of it is kind of mute to me. And I think it's just more interesting to think about the concept of, you know, the rules of the Ethereum network were set when it was launched, although they did say they're going to move to proof of stake. They didn't say they were going to do this thing where they burn the transaction fees when Ethereum launched and it got introduced new. And that's a huge change. Now, if it's a good change or bad change is one discussion, in my opinion. And then it's another discussion on should the community, or should the users of the Ethereum network that run nodes and miners change the running system so drastically, because it's kind of a drastic change. So I just put that out there for people to just think about these concepts. And I think your tokens are safe either way. And if you back them up on Club NFT, then they're safer than ever. And Club NFT is not a sponsor so far, so don't worry. All right, next. Next topic, another chain, Solana and NFTs. Everyone's favorite crypto scandal, FTX and Sam Bankman-Fried, is the gift that keeps on giving. The blockchain Solana, which is de facto the FTX chain, kind of like how BNB is to Binance, has issue with its NFTs, or some of them at least, the images that the NFTs on Solana point to, they go to an under maintenance webpage. And then we got countless articles, NFTs are wrecked, NFTs are worthless, you know, the same ambulance chasing kind of articles that you get about, you know, NFTs burning the earth. Now NFTs are just a joke again. So Solana and NFTs, rich or wrecked? Art Gnome.
Yeah, so I mean, I've never collected on Solana, and from my little exposure that I had to it, it always felt like it was sort of like a VC inspired versus like ground up from like artists and collectors. There was like a lot of money in it trying to make it into a thing from the top down. That might not be fair. I'm not an expert, but that was sort of my perception. But you know, I'm not going to miss an opportunity, even though no one loves NFTs more than me, to say that, you know, what happened with the FTX NFTs breaking, that 40% of Ethereum NFTs are based on, use private servers instead of IPFS or being on chain. So, like, that's not a Solana problem. Like, you should expect 40% of Ethereum NFTs to break as the marketplaces start to consolidate. So, yeah, use, you know, at least ideally IPFS when you're collecting, or, you know, even Arweave, which I'm not as strong on, but better than nothing. If you can get ones on chain, great. But like that Solana, you know, FTX broken NFT problem is not chain specific. So I won't use this opportunity to plug NFT or club NFT. You know, you should understand what you're collecting and back them up. Not all NFTs are created equally.
Thank you, Art Gnome. Right on. Okay, rich or wrecked, Wondermundo? Solana?
I would say wrecked, mainly because I did actually try the platform. I minted a few things there, and they were, someone bought them, so that was nice. But I really couldn't find the community. I felt like I really tried, or maybe it didn't click as much. And the chain also felt a lot more centralized. So even before the FTX stuff, I had already kind of written off in my mind just because of the issues with the centralization, and like what I also heard were just how they were handling the management of it.
Right on. Rich or wrecked, Empress Trash, Solana and NFTs?
I've always been hesitant to talk publicly about Solana, but I've always felt wrecked about it because, I don't know, there's just so many red flags early on with it. And the only reason I don't publicly rail against it is because I know a lot of artists who do use it and who are trying to make money on it and trying to do their thing. So it's just like, out of respect, I haven't railed on it, but I've always viewed it as wrecked. I've never minted on there. I've always gotten weird vibes from it. If I can fully explain my vibes, I don't know. Like, I just see certain things and I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not messing with that. But I tend to be really particular with that type of stuff. But yeah, overall, like, I just have never felt Solana was going to be a long-term anything.
Fanny, rich or wrecked, Solana and NFTs?
So it's interesting because during the hype market, or like bull market, a lot of my friends were actually trading a lot on Solana. No, so not NFT related, but a cryptocurrency. And at one point you wonder, right? You're like, oh, maybe I should like look into it, like get into it. And like, and oftentimes this is how you make a bad decision, right? Like, because to Jason's point, if you don't understand what you're doing, it's probably not worth doing. And I know this sounds like now, like, you know, like obvious, but during a hype market and like bull market, it's hard to, you know, like make the difference. And I also did not really feel that like I found the artist to the community that on Solana that like I was looking for. And but to be honest, like, I mean, if you do, great, but like do your own research, right? Like, because before doing anything on any of these blockchains, you have to understand the tech, and it's something you can't say like, oh, but I did not know. Well, you know, like you, like research it before you do anything, I think. The so neutral, not rich or wrecked.
Neutral. Okay. No, you have to say rich or wrecked. I'm sorry.
Ah, Don't make me.
Okay, we've got a Rich and Wrecked then from Fanny. Okay, yeah, I will say I actually met someone yesterday at a meetup in Berlin at a very cold Christmas market that wanted to mint a project on Solanas. The first person I've met in real life that said, I want, and it was just yesterday after everything that's happened. And they said, yeah, we're going to, do you know anyone that can mint a 10K project or like a 5K project? You know, we want to have traits and all this stuff, you know, a standard one of these projects. I was like, well, I've never done that, to be honest, but I think I can find someone if you're really looking. What, you know, tell me more about what you want to do. They're like, yeah, we want to use Solana. And I was really amazed, but it was mostly to do with some kind of deals, like, oh, we think we can get a deal with this marketplace or some kind of other deal. So it was just, it was purely about deal making. It wasn't about, oh, the community or like the tech or anything like that. So, I mean, fair enough. If someone wants to, like, you know, sponsor you, I mean, they have, you know, different chains have, you know, like grant systems and all that. It sounded a little bit more shady than a standard grant system, to be honest, but, you know, okay. I thought, all right, why not? I mean, is it still running? I don't know. So I'm going to say Wrecked in general. I don't know what's going to happen with that chain. And it's an interesting thing to just watch from the outside, kind of like a train wreck that you can't not watch happening. I think that's basically what's going on. And we get to watch it happen live. Bonus question. I think Wondermundo answered. Have you ever minted on Solana? Wondermundo said yes. Has anyone else? Fanny's thumbs down. I don't think any. All thumbs down. Okay. No one. I haven't either. And I was thinking of, like, what is a project on Solana that I know? And I only know really early on when NFTs first started, there was just Soulpunks. And all it was an exact copy of CryptoPunks verbatim, but just on Solana. And I actually kind of wanted one. It was just because it's just blatant copy, total wrecked copy, but they were actually selling for money. And I was really like, wow, it was too expensive for me to get. I was like, this is not right. This is just crazy. But anyway, on to the next topic. Everyone's favorite topic, royalties. The Creator Ownership Research Institute is here. OpenSea is now handing over control of the so-called royalty filter to a group in an effort to decentralize the efforts to enforce royalties across platforms. While this sounds simple enough, it's raised a lot of questions, and the slide down the slippery slope of who gets to decide what, when, and how is sliding like never before. Rich or Wrecked? Corey, the Creator Owner Research Institute. Empress Trash.
Ah, shit. This one is so hard for me, and the reason it's so hard for me is because some of the people behind Corey, I mad respect and love. I, like, adore a lot of what they do in the space, and I adore the intentions behind it, because I think there is an overall thing of wanting to possibly bring artists together and also wanting to push against, like, open, like, not just let OpenSea hold the keys for everything, which makes me feel rich about it, but also I am not fully on board or sold with blocking my art personally on any marketplace, just because I staunchly believe in accessibility, and so it's really hard for me to say Rich or Wrecked on it because I'm still debating in my head where on that polar opposite I am. So Rich or Wrecked.
All right, Rich Wrecked. Okay. Fanny, what do you think? Rich or Wrecked?
I would go with Wreck right now. I mean, I agree with Empress Trash that a lot remains to be seen on how it goes, but I think this, we have to stop. We all want to believe that, like, platforms are artists first and that they're gonna help, but I genuinely, if you know how the business works, like, this is not how they make decisions, right? So yes, they did like something right by announcing a committee with other platforms and Manifold, but at the end of the day, I think we're looking at it from the wrong angle, and I don't remember where I saw that in the news recently, or someone posted on Twitter the fact that like that solution is just you know, them, I mean, blocking platforms that don't respect royalties for artists. At the end of the day, it's not going to help the artists as much as it's going to help platforms like OpenSea get ahead and you know, block other players to be more monopolistic in their market share. So I would say wreck on that one.
Wondermundo, Corey Institute, Rich or wrecked?
I would also say wrecked, because I think that, you know, it's the answer. The solution isn't just a like technical solution. It's part of the ethos that we have as well. Because I also think that, you know, unless you get rid of a transfer button, there's no way that you're ever going to solve this problem. And so we need to think of different ways that maybe we can't have royalties, or what you might do, whether it's putting some, you know, saving some NFTs back. And I absolutely do believe the artist should be paid royalties 100%. But I think that it's not going to happen with just platforms deciding and also having a technical solution, because it feels also a little bit like they're doing that whole like, hey, we're diverse, we have this, and they're setting up groups and things, but they're not really doing a lot with it.
Art Node, Richard Recht.
Yeah, I don't know enough about this particular instance with OpenSea, like what they're doing now, to give like a super intelligent answer. So I don't want to pretend and say something extra dumb, but of course I'm pro royalties for artists. I think that was the goal, you know, when we were building out NFTs and listing out all the things that we thought that would be advantageous to artists and why we all wanted to build the space. I understand now, you know, 5 years after initially writing about royalties, that it's a much more complex, both socially and technological, you know, problem that warrants exploration. And my guess is that no one solution is going to make everyone happy. So I think what we might likely see is different platforms executing with different options, right? And artists and collectors will gravitate to the platforms that best reflect their ideals. But I'm not so sure that we'll see a one-size-fits-all solution that'll make everyone happy in this space.
Thank you, Arno. Right on. Okay, so I'm going to say Rich, actually, surprise, because what I do like is the Corey Institute. They're not naming it. It's the Creator Ownership Research Institute. It's not the Corey Royalty Only Institute, because I think that we need to look beyond royalties, because the goal is not royalties. The goal is to have artists earn money over extended periods of time and be able to take to earn from the secondary market sales. And royalties is just one way to possibly do that. Like Art Gnome said, there's a lot of technical things that are very complex, and there's a lot of social things that are very complex. And I've thought about it a lot. And I also, so if you have time, I've also posted in the Corey Institute forum on their webpage the blog post that I made, and I've updated the blog post about some more of my thoughts about what I think possible solutions are, but I'm open to other ones.
I also would like to interject on that. Like, I think a lot of the people...
To more walled gardens, more blacklists, more whitelists, a lot of energy spent on all of this stuff, and we could spend it in a different way and still have artists earn money in the secondary market. Take part of that money, I think. So that's my opinion. So I think Rich, because I don't see anywhere on the page and anywhere in what they've said that they're limited to helping build only royalty systems. It's just a research institute. And I think that's a cool idea. And I hope that they branch out to other things, not just royalties, that help artists earn money in the long term, take part in the secondary market. Bonus question. You have to tell the truth. Have you ever avoided paying royalties? Anyone?
Not intentionally.
Getting thumbs down from everyone. I thought that would be probably all thumbs down.
The only time I will.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Another
favorite.
Oh, wait. Sio, I think Empress Trash is trying to speak, but you can't hear her. So go for it.
Yeah, the only time I've ever avoided royalties is when I trade art. And that is the only instance where it's with another collector and we're swapping pieces. And it's not with the intention of avoiding royalties. It's just we want to barter. And bartering is cool, in my opinion, which is another issue of royalties in general, because we are trading value, but it's like no one is really directly monetarily being compensated.
Right on. Yeah, I think that's really interesting. I trade a lot over the years. I've traded a whole lot of, you know, rare Pepes and other art for other people's stuff. I do it all the time. And yeah, that's really interesting. So we have someone on the show that admitted to avoiding royalties. Mark it down. Everyone remember that. All right. Everyone's favorite topic, Yuga Labs. From the apes being so-called right-wing whistleblowers, to the ape parties with thousands of ape bros, to the ape coin and its promoters getting totally wrecked by the SEC. Yuga Labs acquired CryptoPunks and MeBits, and now they're also getting wrecked by the SEC. Yuga Labs, rich or wrecked? Fanny.
Where to start? Well, I mean, rich for them, good for them, for millions, you know, it's, I mean, they're pretty much built what they wanted to build, which is the Disney of like NFTs and world of licensing and, you know, like cartoon like characters that now they can, you know, sell for, you know, fast foods and now build like, metaverse games and everything they do. And I think this is a very interesting case study. If you really look at how they build this empire, is that every time they announce something, there's always something else on the horizon, right? Like they acquired MeBits and CryptoPunks, and then there was directly at the same time as the announcement, there was ApeCoin and I don't remember the name of their metaverse project, but I'm probably getting everything in the wrong order, but you get my point, right? Like there's like this build up and this like use of every single marketing tool, influencer tool, which now, by the way, celebrities are being sued for, being paid to push that project. But I think, good for them. I mean, but now that like speculators were using their product as investment, like short-term speculation tool are gone, well, let's see what happened. But rich for them.
Rich for them. Wondermundo, rich or wrecked, Yuga Labs?
Correct. I think that they, like Fanny said, they used every marketing tool like from the start, and it was very manufactured even from the beginning, I think. And also because it was also the first project and the way they had their story, they did a really good job about making it seem like it was just two dudes or something like that at first. I think it helped them kind of go away, but it does a disservice to the entire NFT community, especially now that they're getting sued and things like that, because that's what's mainstream. And so unfortunately, I think it adds, it's bad for NFTs as a whole.
Empress Trash, rich or wrecked? I don't know if you heard me, if I'm talking over you.
I didn't hear you. But this is being said with there is a lot of apes that follow and collect me, and I love them dearly. I'm not taking a personal attack on any one ape holder, but wrecked for a very personal reason of that they painted an ape mural over me, Max Osiris, and woman tagging a building, and that really pissed me off. So I'm feeling very wrecked on apes right now for that. I mean, it was just a little tag. It wasn't like anything profound, but it's still, I don't know, it felt disrespectful, and I'll get over it eventually. But overall, for the ecosystem, I think it's a very complex thing. I think they don't always bring the best press to the space. I don't think they always represent to the wider world like the best aspects of MFTs as a whole. And I think like if they're gonna keep doing what they're doing, my biggest thing would be they need to be more mindful about how they're representing a lot of us when with everything that they're doing. Yeah, that's it.
Right on. Thanks a lot. Artnum, rich or wrecked?
Yeah, I'll have to say whether it's rich or wrecked after I'm done talking out loud about it. But like generally, like it's not my thing, and that's okay, right? Like sometimes I feel like we're you know, thinking even just in terms of rich or wrecked, we either have to love things or hate things or whatever, right? And like, you know, Bored Apes isn't my thing. And I kind of compare it to sports sometimes. Like soccer is not my thing, but I don't like yell at and hate people that like soccer, right? Like, you know, like, so people might like Bored Apes and like, that's cool. It's just not my thing. It did make my life a little bit more complicated because so many people just assume that I must collect Bored Apes and like, that's all I do because like, that's the introduction to the mainstream as to what an NFT is. So they're like, wow, you've been like collecting cartoon monkeys for 5 years. And I'm like, no, that's like not what I do. You know, it's like a different section of the NFT space. And like, you know, they're cool. Like, it's just not what I do. And then it got really complicated when they bought CryptoPunks because they're like, but you've been writing about CryptoPunks and like you had those and like you were saying this isn't what you do, but like you just got that too. And I'm like, now it's kind of complicated. Right. But like generally, I think this the NFT space, it's good that it gets rich and broad and there's things all over the place that don't appeal to me whatsoever, but that's okay. They appeal to other people, right? Like it's a sign that NFTs are maturing. Like, you know, doesn't all have to be stuff I like, and you know, that's not my scene, but that's okay. So I guess like wrecked for me, like it's not what I'm into, but like rich that like there are other options that other people can be into. It doesn't hurt me.
All right, thanks a lot, Arnum. Yeah, I'm going to agree, like, it's not my thing that, as far as that point of view, I agree. It's cool if people want to do it, I think. But I'm going to say wrecked because as soon as I saw them saying they're going to make their own coin and they started to promote it and they're going to do staking and all this stuff, that just gets really wrecked. And they're a U.S. company and they're doing the promotion and all this. It just was so clear that it just reminds me of like 2017 ICO style stuff, and you're going to have trouble with it. And they have trouble with it now, unfortunately for them and actually for the whole space. So I'm going to say wrecked, and you should have known, and whoever was advising them and whatever lawyers they have should be fired. And I don't know who was advising them, but like, it's just so clear, like all of these endorsements were going to come back at them. So I have no idea what they were thinking with that. So I'm going to say wrecked. All right. This is a time I want to thank everyone that's in the space with us. We've got some people in here. Thanks a lot. This will be recorded and I will put it on the internet for everyone. And we have a new topic that's not on our list. Get ready. Donald Trump NFTs are here, ladies and gentlemen. Donald Trump trading cards, hot off the presses. Ladies and gentlemen, as far as I know, we love the first evers, right? As far as I know, the first ever presidential NFTs, or it seems to be coming from him, coming out. As you might know, Rare Pepes, there's several Trump Rare Pepes, there's several Clinton Rare Pepes, there's some Obama Rare Pepes, there might be some other political figure Rare Pepes too, so there definitely are some. They just went up in value probably, I guess the old Trump Rare Pepes, I don't know, because now the new ones exist. From my quick look at the website, I think it's Ethereum-based, which is interesting. So, Fanny, rich or wreck, Trump NFTs?
Oh my God! I was actually looking at the history of last year, because I was like, this is not the first time we see that, right? So it's like, so first Melania actually released an NFT like probably back in like February last year or something, and there was already like an announcement, like, well, February 25, I will post it in Twitter, Donald Trump just released an NFT collection, dot dot dot, yes comma, really, period. That was the title of NFT Evening article. And wait for it, that's the best part, it was on Solana. Sorry. I just made myself laugh by myself, which anyway, but yeah, and apparently he designed this like POTUS Trump NFT collection back in February 2022 on Solana. So totally wrecked. This is not the fucking first NFT Trump has done.
Amazing. I mean, amazing. Wonder Mundo, Trump NFTs, rich or wrecked?
I'll be honest, I'll probably say it's wrecked 100%. And this also made me have like a visceral reaction. I didn't know about the Solana NFTs, but even more so than the Melania one, because it just feels like another one of his grifts. And like, it just makes it harder for, I guess, me outside of the NFT bubble to talk about what I'm doing. And so, yeah, I think my initial reaction was like, oh my God, this is like truly NFTs are dead, but maybe we can call it something else.
Art Gnome, Trump NFTs, rich or wrecked?
Yeah, I'm like a super liberal hippie that lives like in the middle of a very Trump-oriented set of towns or whatever. So like on the one hand, it doesn't, again, it doesn't align with necessarily my values, but I think that's fine. I'm going to say rich and go against everybody on this one and say, I think it's fucking hilarious, right? That Trump put out an NFT. And I think our roots in this space are much more tied to absurdity and ridiculousness. And I worry that we take ourselves too seriously. So introducing a little absurdity back into the space, I think, is great. And I know it'll drive a bunch of people crazy and we'll see a bunch of absurd debates about it. So I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm bored and I find it funny. And, you know, Trump lovers need art too, right? So it looks like they're getting the art that they might deserve. I'm going to be careful up there.
All right, right on. Yeah, I'm going to Empress Trash, rich or wreck, Trump NFTs.
I'm going to say, actually, very surprisingly, rich, because for one reason, and that at least it's transparent, like he is doing a cash grab for his presidential campaign over the SBF FTX shit, where it's just like they stole a bunch of money to donate to the Democrats. This is coming from someone who's highly liberal, also very left wing. But I am very done with American politics in general. And I mean, I'm living in Mexico now. I am so very much done with America. So I'm going to say that. But also just a cash grab and also hopefully a bottom signal and we can start building up from here. So, yeah.
I love the bottom signal. This is a great phrase.
Yes, yes. So I'm back. Yeah, I'm having some technical problems hearing everybody, but I'm dealing with it. All right, I'm going to say rich because, yeah, I agree. It's absurd and it's funny. And I kind of think that other candidates are going to do it too. And it might become a standard way to raise money is to do NFTs. And that's absurdly funny. And actually, it could help like an outsider candidate. You know, what if an outsider candidate embraced the idea of like NFTs and they raised a shit ton of money? That could be, it could be a thing. So let's see what happens. I think it's interesting, let's say. So I would say rich. All right, next topic. Coinbase launches its own NFT marketplace, Coinbase NFT. Everybody's using it, right? Coinbase NFT marketplace, rich or wrecked? Wonder Mundo.
Well, I guess it's wrecked as far as like their success on it, but overall, like I probably say rich because I think there should be options for people, and so it may not be the best, but it's another option that people have instead of there just being like one open sea. But yeah, I'm not sure anybody's using it.
Right on. I don't know many people using it. Empress Trash, Coinbase NFT marketplace, rich or wrecked?
Wrecked, obviously. I don't know anyone who got rich off of it. And I also had like friends who were working for it and totally got laid off and all of that stuff. So I just, it's wrecked.
Right on, right on. Okay. Fanny, Coinbase NFT, rich or wrecked?
I'm going to take the approach of like rich, but from a Web2 perspective, because they're probably, you know, I mean, after the FTX debacle, and you look at like Coinbase, which is actually regulated and, you know, an exchange, and they're just building up their product suite. So the fact that like nobody uses it, like, I mean, you know, they do what they do for themselves. And you know, Empress Trash, you said it, like, they probably were way too, like, hungry or optimistic in terms of, like, how many people they hired. But, I mean, from the Web2 perspective, I mean, they're doing it, you know, the correct way, probably. I mean, it hurts me to say that because of, you know, the consequences, but I think this is like, we have to take it for what it is.
Artnum, Coinbase NFT marketplace, rich or wrecked?
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, I don't think I have quite the same like allergy, for lack of a better word, to companies or even large companies as a lot of my friends in the space do. So like, I wasn't rooting against them when they were launching. I was like, oh, like, I think Coinbase arguably made it so that lots and lots of people could finally figure out how to engage with crypto and kind of helped democratize crypto. And I thought, oh, maybe they'll do sort of a thoughtful job and equally help usher in sort of a larger audience for NFTs. And look, if we, as snobby as I can be at times, like, if we want artists to flourish in this space and lots of them to flourish, we need to onboard lots and lots and lots and lots of collectors, right? So I was kind of hoping it would do that. And I was excited at the beginning and thought they built a pretty good platform, but nobody used it, right? And if nobody uses it, then it's like, I'm not going to use it because like community first always, right? But honestly, like, I don't know why it didn't work out. It'd be like a cool, you know, business case study or something like that. I'm not sure what they did wrong, but no one I know uses it. And, you know, it's almost too bad, though, I would say. Like, it would have been cool if they could onboard, let's call it, you know, 500,000 to 1 million more collectors. Things might be a little bit less painful for artists right now.
Yeah, I don't know why nobody uses it. I think that some of the marketing was pretty superficial. And yeah, I agree. It's a good on-ramp maybe for people to get into NFTs. But let's see. Maybe they change some things. Maybe it'll work out. But it was a big wreck for them for the budget that they spent on it. I can't remember how many millions of dollars. And basically, nobody's using it. All right, next topic. eBay acquires known origin. Undisclosed amount. Rich or wrecked? Artnum.
Yeah, this is an interesting follow-up to the last question because it's kind of an extension of my philosophy that I don't necessarily hate medium or large size companies. I certainly love and celebrate entrepreneurs and entrepreneurship and consider myself one and think there's a lot of commonality there between artists and entrepreneurs. And I love the known origin guys, have from the beginning. They actually often credit my blog with the inspiration for starting Known Origin. And I've known them for 4 or 5 years to be really good, even in the lean years, to artists and collectors. So I don't have all the details on what happened, but I congratulated them when it happened because I assumed that if they had other better options that they would have taken them, and that if this was a way for them to sort of move forward and grow, my guess is that, you know, they're smart guys who I respect and think have been good to the community over the last 5 years. So if this is where they ended up, I trust them as humans to have weighed out all their options. And, you know, this one must have been the one that was best for them. So I know there's a lot of anger and frustration there, but I know these guys personally and, you know, would say that I love them. I think they're good guys, like just like a lot of other folks on this panel or other people that started in this space with me 5 years ago. And, you know, if they felt like that was the right decision for them, then I want to be supportive of them.
Right on. Okay. Fanny, rich or wrecked?
I mean, I think for the record, I mean, I don't hate Web2 companies. I'm just saying that, like, it's, I think there should be more alternative ways to support and finance Web3 innovative companies. And so this is, you know, exactly the case for Non-Origin, right? Like, I mean, David, like, got a lot of hate and you know, distrust from people when he announced the acquisition of Non-Origin by eBay. But I think what we have to look at is that that was his only option, right? Like, I mean, otherwise, you know, Non-Origin would have closed and shut down. So at the end of the day, like, what is better, right? Like, that the platform actually shuts down or that, like, it gets acquired, like, and financed by a bigger group. It's not going to be easy. I mean, this is, like, where a small company, like, startup acquired by a large company, it's going to be hard on David and his team, because this is not, you know, incorporated into eBay. Like, this is, like, Non-Origin, like, it's still branded Non-Origin, probably have, like, you know, 3 or 2-3 year milestone to hit for him to, like, you know, like, do, like, to do the full, like, acquisition or get what eBay, like, promised, like, whatever undisclosed amount. So, I mean, to me, it's wrecked. Not, it's like, it's not David or Non-Origin is wrecked. Like, this is, like, the fact that, like, this was his only option to survive, that is wrecked to me.
Wondermundo, Non-Origin getting acquired by eBay, rich or wrecked?
Oh, this one's hard for me. I'm not on Non-Origin, but also I just don't know. I know that many of the artists felt upset, but also understanding that, I guess, too, like, how Web2 works and you know, you need funding to survive, and so I understand that part of it. But I think I'm going to say rich, though, because I also am one who wants, you know, mass adoption and things to get, you know, seen less as, like, a bad grifter NFT thing and more of just, like, here's something I can buy. And I think with maybe eBay, it could help that. But I do think it sucks for a lot of the artists and how they felt with their art being on there.
Empress Trash, Non-Origin getting acquired by eBay, rich or wreck?
Yeah, this one I still have so many mixed feelings about, and I don't know if I've completely processed, because Non-Origin was actually the first curated platform that accepted me, and they actually helped me a lot with getting exhibited and noticed and sales and all of that. And everything was going, like, everything on that platform was going amazing until eBay acquired it. And I did stop minting at that point, but I wasn't angry necessarily that eBay acquired it. It just felt really weird to me, because coming from the traditional art world, eBay isn't known for selling, like, the high-end art. It kind of is like the flea market of the art world, and compared to other online retailers for art. And Non-Origin positioned themselves so hard as, like, this really well-curated, and they take care of artists and all of that, that I just, the ethos of the two companies just seems so directly conflicting that I step back from minting there, but I also don't have anger about it. Just because I want to see how it plays out. It can be very rich if they leverage the eBay network to onboard collectors, like Art Gnome was saying with Coinbase. It's like, if we can get, like, 10, 20, 30,000 more collectors through eBay for artists, then yes, it's very rich. But if it just ends up being consumed and kind of dismantled within the eBay ecosystem, then it's going to be wrecked. And I don't, like, it hasn't yet, but we haven't seen it fully play out yet, is what I think. And so, yeah, I'm still not minting there. I still have a lot of love for Known Origin, for what they did for me and for a lot of other artists. And I still see other artists thriving on there. So, again, it's like the Solana thing. I don't want to completely just rail against it because I don't want to necessarily hurt my fellow artists and what they're doing. But it's something I'm definitely, I keep a close eye on it, and I just am going to keep watching it play out.
All right, I'm going to say Rich, and I don't know if we know. I think, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Yeah, it could have, it's with these things getting acquired, there's always, you know, a lot of like NDAs and like things people can't talk about and you don't know the intentions, but maybe, you know, eBay is, you know, wants to not to be the flea market of art anymore. And they saw that as a chance. It's a possibility. I don't know their reasoning, but that could be one of the reasons. All right. Next topic. The last topic. Creative Commons Zero License Rights. Crypto artists explore the CC Zero options for licensing this year. It became a topic last half of the year, I think, a lot. Rich or wrecked? Fanny?
Yeah, I have. I mean, probably should ask the artists first on that one. I think there's, to me, it's... it's always good to have like different options and for artists to decide. I think like a lot of artists who came into like the NFT space, you know, thought that things like royalties that we talked about, along with IP protection, would actually be solved by the magical acronym NFT. Which is not the case, right? So I think that debate kind of started on a misunderstanding, maybe, or like a you know, misconception of what NFTs could deliver and solve for artists. But I'm glad it did like start the debate, and I think it should be an option for artists as they see fit. But you know, probably more in line with like Web3 collaboration as well.
Wondermundo, Rich or Rec, Creative Commons Zero License?
I say Rich. And I think most of my work now is CC0 from earlier this year, kind of switched over. And I think it's, you know, good to have options. But I think it's up to the artist what they want to do. But for me personally, it was a good choice. And also it kind of helped me work through some feelings of about how I felt as an artist in my work. But overall, ultimately, I think it's a good thing for me as an artist, because if someone were to take my work and do something cool with it, that I feel like would just give me credit as well eventually, or get me more known too. And if they really do something that's cooler, like than I could do, that's also awesome too. And I want to celebrate that.
Empress Trash, CC0, Rich or Wrecked?
I mean, I'm directly rich because of CC0. Not really rich, but I made money from it. Just like Moonbirds going CC0 and me and Max, who's in the audience, doing the DOS Trash Birds, it directly benefited us and our community. We were able to fund the DAO for many more months in a shit market, and it's opened up opportunities for us in the fact that they went CC0. I've always been a CC0 artist from like day one. I just really believe in like my stuff should be shared everywhere, and that art, I don't know, I just never been one to want to hold IP rights for my stuff. I'd rather my art just be out there and like anyone can kind of do whatever they want with it. But I'm also coming from like the trash art ethos, which it's like, I think the vast majority of us are CC0. I think that's kind of a core tenet of being a trash artist, just because we believe in remix culture. We really like playing off of each other's, you know, work, and having it piece CC0 just takes a lot of those gates down to be able to create dope shit and be able to put it out there. And it's an honor when someone creates a remix of my work. It's always like, it makes me feel so good, and it makes me feel like you know, like, oh shit, like they liked it enough to like go through and remix it. And I'm glad other artists can make money off of stuff when they mint remixes. I want everyone to like thrive and survive, and it just takes a burden off of asking permission from me. I'm a very busy person. It's like, no, just do it and have fun with it. And I don't know. So from my perspective, I'm very, very rich and very, very bullish on CC0. And I always probably will be, just because that's the culture that I come from. And it's really like how my community of that I come from and artists survive and thrive.
All right. Artnum, rich or wrecked?
Yeah, I think I look at Creative Commons the same way I look at royalties, where my hope or dream is that every individual artist will have increasing amount of control over their licensing and over their royalties, right? Like, I think where this space goes wrong is when people get angry at each other for not all doing the same thing, right? Like, there are going to be artists that are into making their work open and artists that aren't. And I think sometimes I'll see like someone intentionally go and like reuse work by someone they know who totally is not into Creative Commons. And they think it's like a strong statement, like, look, I remixed this artist's work, even though they didn't want it. I think it's actually kind of lame, right? Like, I don't like, you know, if you want your work to be out there, and I think that's awesome. I actually lean more towards that. I think like more power on you, you know, to you. But I also think it's important to protect people that don't want to do that, right? And I think as a community moving more and more towards like being super cool with the fact that we all land in different ends of the spectrum on, like, you know, licensing and on royalties and things like that, and making sure that we have multiple options through different marketplaces, or as we improve the ability for artists to run their own contracts, right, which I think is really cool and exciting. You know, I expect us to move further and further and further away from one big solution, hopefully, and more towards personalized offerings that are unique to the artist, which is something that kind of carries over from the traditional physical art world, right? Like, every artist has like all kinds of unique rules and ideas about how their work can be displayed and what they're trying to do with it. And like, you know, to the degree that we can mirror that and even expand upon it, I think would be great. So yeah, I'm all for Creative Commons, and I'm all for people that don't want to do it. And I think the only thing I'm against is people getting like super angry because other people don't agree with them. And like, there's room for all those approaches.
All right. Thank you. That was our last topic. I want to thank everyone for coming on today. Now you get your time to shine, time to shill. Wondermundo, it's your turn. Tell us about yourself. Tell us where we can find you. Anything else?
So hi, I'm Wonder Jessica. And I create a lot of glitchy trash art, I would say abstract. A lot of my art is based around me kind of coming to terms and working through finding out I have dissociative identity disorder. I found out last year my art really is what helped me and helps me to this day. So a lot of that is a journey. But I specifically wanted to show my Basurita collection. Basurita means like little trash in Spanish. And it's like my first collection I ever made using AI. And also cross-platform. There's 111 total, and 55 are on Tezos, and then 55 are on ETH. Tezos is sold out, and so I wanted to just show my Basurita. You can see it on my pin profile.
Right on. All right, Empress Trash?
I'm Empress Trash. I'm a person that Giphy Art says to watch in 2023. So watch me, everyone. Watch me. Nah, I don't know. I make art. I do dope shit. I am really active with DOS Punks right now. Me and Max doing all the DOS Punk stuff. So get your trash birds because they're awesome. And the DAO is awesome. Just to plug that quick of, you know, we nominate an artist every month. We do interviews with them. We collect from them directly from the funds that come from the sales of the trash birds and all that stuff, and from community donations and us just like trying to fund the DAO wallet. Beyond that, the big chill is I have the second part of Age of Aquarius group drop on Nifty Gateway coming up, which features a lot of like 9 amazing artists: Wondermundo, Max, Espinoza, Sky Goodman, Purrs, Donya, Crypto Fangs, Inavare. And yeah, you should, it's a limited, 5/5 limited ranked auction this weekend, and you should totally pay attention to that and buy all their dope art and buy my dope art, which is in it also. And yeah, I don't know. That's it.
Fanny, tell us about yourself.
Well, first, thank you, Empress Trash, because you totally reminded me that I totally forgot to get my those trash birds. So thanks for the plug. That was really useful, actually. Yeah, well, not as exciting as the artist, but I mean, we just continued what we've been doing, like helping collectors and artists like navigate the space, and we actually in my. If it's really chilling, like in my like pinned tweet, like if you want to retweet it, if you know artists we need help getting started or a boost with the project, we do advisory sessions. And we're not going to do that for long because there's something new in terms of artist support that we're announcing in January. So, yeah.
All right. And Artnum.
Yeah, so I'm a failed artist that fell in love with the crypto art space in 2017. And because I just immediately fell in love with so many of the builders and artists and collectors in the space, wanted to help it grow. And in the beginning, that was lots and lots of writing and articles on artgnome.com about this space that I get lots of people giving kind comments that, you know, those early articles helped them enter into the space, which always makes me feel good. Did a podcast, brought Super Rare, their first artists back in 2018, was their first collector. Get credit sometimes for bringing NFTs to the traditional art world. In early 2018, gave out 300 NFTs at Christie's, and all the old, you know, old school collectors looked at me cross-eyed, like, "What the heck is this?" And basically, most of them got thrown away. It's all a larger story. When I saw the environmental issue crop up, worked together with the community and folks like Fanny to try to at least show that the community would take some responsibility over it and, you know, do our best to run a hackathon and raise money to bring awareness to ways that we could try to make it more efficient. So at some point realized that the problems I wanted to solve were bigger than me and I couldn't solve them alone. So started a company called Club NFT and a publication called rightclicksave.com. Club NFT, you can go there if you're an NFT collector and for free. Back up all your IPFS NFTs. That's so that you don't have to depend on marketplaces staying in business. You don't even have to depend on Club NFT staying in business. As long as you have those files in the exact format they were originally used to create the NFTs, you can restore them later. So encourage you. There's no gotcha. It's free, 100% free. We're actually working on free pinning. Should come out in a couple of weeks. We did a promotion around it, but the goal is to make it available for free for all collectors. So keep your eyes out for that. We've got a discovery tool called Pathfinder that is intended to diversify the number of collector or of artists that are collected. I'm a little worried that like the same like small amount of artists seem to be selling really well, but you know, we need to broaden that and get more artists participating. So we have an algorithm that intentionally shows you artists you haven't collected yet to try to expand and support a broader group of artists. That's Pathfinder. It's also free. And then Right Click Save, to close it out, is our sort of Web3 culture publication. Brilliant people from all around the world weighing in on what NFTs and crypto art mean for us culturally. And that's it.
This was The OG Show, Rich or Wrecked 2022. I want to thank all the panelists for coming on. Thanks for so much. Thanks for everyone listening live in the spaces. Stay tuned for the recording. Also, check out next week, same time, same place, Thursday, December 22nd, The OG Show, Predictions for 2023. Make sure to check that out. You can already check that out in my tweet feed. I should have it up as a pinned post. Again, thanks again, everyone. This is Theo Goodman, signing off.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Theo.